If you look on the front of your bulletin, there's a special picture there. It's Fred Rogers. Today in many Presbyterian churches is the day to remember the late Fred Rogers, who for almost 50 years was America's most watched minister. Yes, he was a Presbyterian minister too. He even surpassed Billy Graham, Robert Shuler, and even Joel Osteen in his audience. But Mr. Rogers' ministry was exclusively focused upon children. His mission for children was to instill in them an attitude of being a good neighbor. And Fred grew up in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, in the Presbyterian church there. And you know who one of his Sunday school cohorts were? Was golf pro Arnold Palmer. Was in the same Sunday school class with him. And you all may recall Ricky Martin, a pop singer from Puerto Rico. He said he learned English by watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You know, Fred was very deliberate in his speech and all that, and said he could follow along very closely what Rogers was saying. And so this sort of intertwines with this passage here of Isaiah 55 about the attitude of joy and peace, not alienation nor anger. Fred always said when he got mad, he'd go home and play the piano. Of course, not all of us have a piano all the time when we get mad to play it, but he said that was the way he took his anger out, was by playing the piano. And so, you know, all this in Isaiah 55 may sound very simple, but Isaiah spoke to a people who had lost their joy, peace, and even community of neighborliness. For today, we seem to elude joy and peace because of the hurried state we live, and it seems to pass us by so quickly. Think about that. Are we moving at a faster pace than we did 10 years ago? It seems like it. You go down the road, as I was driving 17 to Fort Meade this morning, I was going at a decent speed of 60. I know there were people passing me at 85 down through there. And are they getting there much faster than I am? Not really. And I didn't think I was going at a snail's pace, but people think that they have to always rush, rush, rush. You know, it's amazing what you can miss when you move so fast. Remember that old saying, take time to smell the roses? But we don't do that much anymore, and you don't have to have a little rose, but you just don't. We lose so much in life by really rush, rush, rush. And I don't know what started it, but we have to remember that we need to slow down a little bit and really experience God's grace every day that we live. You know, Fred was never in a hurry. In fact, his show was slow-paced, and some people said, well, he's very slow compared to even Sesame Street. But he did something special for 50 years there, and he was very effective. But sometimes we look at Jesus Christ's command to love our neighbors as ourselves, but tend to forget about the as yourself clause. It says love thy neighbor as thyself, or love your neighbor as yourself. Well, do we really love ourselves? I mean, some people say that might be a little selfish or egotistical, but it's important for us to love ourselves, because if we don't love ourselves correctly, then we're not going to love our family, friends, and neighbors properly. Now, I'm not talking about standing in front of the mirror and saying to the reflection, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Now, I will say some of you may do that, but you don't have to admit it. But that is the way some people think. But now, if love for ourselves is submissive to our love for God, it will keep us from becoming selfish and egotistical. Such a philosophy will spread to family and friends with absolute positive results. Positive attitudes will involve some immediate benefits, pleasures, or satisfaction, which counteracts those long-term headaches and new sets of problems. Fred Rogers' television show's entrance always climaxed with the subject of neighbor in every episode. In fact, his theme song was, "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." One time he was on the old Johnny Carson show, Tonight Show, and Joan Rivers was the guest hostess. And Joan said he was the smartest man in television. She sort of paused. She says it's because he's never had her near his neighborhood. But Fred was one of these people that took everybody as they are, accepted them where they are. And that's a difficult task to do. And so, in a way, this passage, as well as the invitation for being a neighbor, sort of echoes the conversation our Lord had with the lawyer in Luke chapter 10, where the attorney asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He quoted Leviticus 19:18, the lawyer did, and it said, the passage reads, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Christ told him, "You have given the correct answer, and do this, and you will live." But the lawyer said, "But who is my neighbor?" Christ, not giving a rule or a blueprint or definition, told the lawyer to accept the invitation to be a good neighbor himself. If you can't start with yourself, then you better not wait on the other person, whether it's the person sitting beside you, your actual physical neighbor next door, or somebody lives across the country or the world. It must start with you, and specifically, it must be directed toward other people to be a good neighbor. You know, if there was a biblical theme to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, this was it: to be a neighbor in the Good Samaritan sense of definition. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9, encapsulates that God is the best neighbor we could ever want or desire. And that's not denigrating and not even causing God to look bad. It's something that gives praise to God, that God is our neighbor, but God is more than our neighbor too. So remember that God is there for us, but the abundance of plenty may be discovered if we would only take our faith journey seriously. Abundance must refer to grace unleashed in mercy toward us. So much of our attitude is centered toward our own greed, yet God offers us so much that the avarice we crave is a pitiful comparison to the bounty of rewards that God offers in the long run. God knows the best for our lives. Listen, God does know the best for each of us. You know, Mr. Rogers' favorite Bible verse was 1 Corinthians 1:25. It says, "For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." We do have our limitations. Fred knew he had his, and we all have our limitations. But why this verse? It goes to show you we are to call upon God all the time, if we only would. As clever and witty as humans think we are, God has us beaten hands down. And of course, the Old Testament, and I like to say parallel to this, is what I read earlier. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, the good news about the neighborly attitude is that, contrary about what is thought, its opposite could be called narcissism, and it can be defeated. But first of all, what is narcissism? It's selfishness and a sense of entitlement or admiration from everyone, a lack of empathy or compassion. To follow God's leading means to change our approach to life as an escape from narcissism. There is something more important, and that is to please God in our actions and lives. You've heard me say that before. How many of us actually please God every day? Now, we talk about displeasing God, but remember, try to show that please in front of displease. Try to make it a goal every day to do something to make sure that God is being pleased with your life and your actions, because it is so important. And that is something we all forget or evade to do. Attitude always has a hook, and I'm talking about that negative attitude. It will snag us into a state of misery, but when God sends forth a blessing, it does not come back with a hidden agenda to deceive or trick us. God will never trick us or deceive us. You know the nickname of Jacob in the Old Testament, in Genesis, he was called the trickster. Now that was when he was a younger man. Later on, he shed that trickster attitude and became a well-known patriarch of the children of Israel. But trickster has a lot of hidden meaning there. So in daily living, try to focus and get God's blessing upon your life. It is so important. Attitude will keep on teasing and tantalizing us with many things, whether it is material, spiritual, or even sensual. God knows how to take care of our needs and to bless us beyond our wildest dreams. But it means placing God first in every area of our lives. To be a good Samaritan removes all toxic attitudes. And today, in today's society and world, that is a tug of war, because toxic attitudes seem to be ruling the roost, but you don't have to tolerate it. You can overcome that with your connection in relation to God. So remember that. You don't have to fall victim every time to that narcissism or the toxic waste attitudes of people. You can overcome that because you know God. You know, an improved attitude even can be done in international relations. You know, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt created the Good Neighbor Policy in 1933 so as to establish friendship with our Latin American neighbors south of the border. It has been one of the most successful policies the United States ever launched. To this day, when I was even in Brazil, they didn't call us Americans or North Americans. They called us Boas Vizinhos, means good neighbors. They think very highly of we Americans because we extended a hand of friendship to our friends south of the border. And so that says a lot about things, about how even internationally we can make friends, and we're like Dale Carnegie's book, Win Friends and Influence People. So all this comes together. But like I said, it must come from within. You cannot go to class for it. You must have a desire to reach out. You said, well, I'm not going overseas. No, that doesn't mean that. But you know, sometimes, you know that old saying, you can turn a lemon into lemonade? Well, that's very true. Sometimes you'll get challenged by somebody, and before you get ready to grit your teeth, why don't you turn the tables on them? And what did the Apostle Paul say? Put heaps of coal on their head. And what Paul meant was, don't fall for their game or prey. Replace it with grace. Maybe they've never experienced it. So you can be an ambassador for Christ in the most positive manner. And that will say a lot as a person of faith, as a child of God, and also as an individual. You know, I like that old State Farm insurance commercial jingle. State Farm, like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. Well, what about changing it to like a good neighbor? The Lord is always there. Remember that. God is with us yesterday, today, and forever. And God never changes. So keep that in your mind and in your heart and in everything in your life, to realize that God is walking with you, not separately. God goes with you wherever you go. In fact, sometimes God goes ahead of you, and that's called the Holy Spirit. And that means so much. So next time you have a situation pop up and you're not quite for sure, you feel timid about it. Or if you're going to have to encounter a person that's not the most polite or poised, ask God to help you out on that. I've done it numerous times, and I've found out, guess what? It works. Allow God to work for you. We can't fix it all ourselves as much as we like to think. Allow God to begin the healing process with that other person, because only God can do the magnificent. So as we're starting a new week, you'll probably meet some new people in your life. Some may be nice, some may not be so nice. But try it out and give this good neighbor policy a chance with everybody. It worked for Fred Rogers, and I'm sure it will work for you as well as for myself. Let us pray. Oh Lord, let us be a good neighbor to everyone we meet, not just to strangers, but to our friends, to our family, or whomever it may be. We know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. We know that you keep us both spiritually attuned to you. Allow our attitude to speak well of you. Let us be neighbors, O Lord, to whomever we encounter and meet. It may be difficult at first, but we know that you are there with us morning, noon, and night. Guide and lead us through all. Through Christ we pray, who taught us, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our neighbors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.